Blog Talk Radio.
Been a long time. Welcome to North Star Talk Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Muhammad. Definitely feel good to be back in the building, you know. And I got my co-host, Charlie B. Moore, in the building. Peace, Charlie B. Moore.
Peace.
You good?
Peace to the guys. I'm doing great.
Thanks to God.
And whatnot. Just...
Oh. All right. Well, you know, I got to properly bring you in, though, right? It's been a long time, so I got to properly bring in my co-host.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
I love you, Grandma.
I'm your co-host. Charlie B. Moore.
I love you, Grandma.
I'm your co-host. Charlie B. Moore.
Your approach is it's like a major
Charlie.
A major factor.
I'm your co-host.
How you?
I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host.
Or your perception.
I'm your co-host.
Change is necessary.
I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host.
Y'all already know the lady of the hour. You know the one with the magical power, casting spells like abracadabra. My co-host,
Charlie B. Moore.
Let's get it in.
Charlie B. Moore.
North Star Talk, baby. Yo, Charlie B. Moore.
Charlie B. Moore.
Let's do this.
Not
you need to always represent. you know, this is going to be a very interesting show tonight. And, you know, do you think it was like it's really necessary for us to do this show? Or we should have left this alone? What you think, Charlie Dima?
No, I think it's necessary. I think it's always necessary, you know?
Yeah.
Any show we do is necessary.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, you know, I've been dealing in the music industry since like the 80s, right?
Right.
And, you know, I done been around some serious club promoters, concert promoters. I've been, you know, I've been part of actual concerts. You know, I did a Fresh tour with Run DMC, Houdini, the Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, and Public Enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed to do that. So I've been around some key people in the industry. I opened for DJ Quick out of LA, right?
Right.
MC Breeze, Uncle Luke in the Two Live Crew. Been around a lot of key people in the industry and dealing with this music thing, right?
Right.
And I've been around the settings with the groupies. I've been around that whole reality in the club, right? I started an independent record label. We were all down in Atlanta and the other areas, you know, interacting with the people. And our people like that, you know, that same atmosphere, that celebrity atmosphere, right? So here we had a guy.
Right.
Or the club promoter, DJ, right? His name is Jason Roger Pope. But he goes by the name of DJ Kid, right? Kid. And he's out of Florence, South Carolina. Right? And I've seen a couple of his flyers and stuff on him. And I know some of the people that DJs that he did the deal with. And so, to my understanding, DJ Kid, he was well known, you know, and was promoting some serious stuff in South Carolina, you know? And so, but he had two lives he was living, right?
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So DJ Kid was popular and well known. Well, we didn't know, or the people didn't know who Jason Pope was. Everybody knew DJ Kid, Florence, South Carolina. But then nobody really know Jason Roger Pope, right? Because, you know, let's say for instance, right? Because I'm going somewhere with this. If you go to his Facebook page, he got pictures with Hillary Clinton and other people like that. So he was doing his thing. But people only see that aspect of the music industry, the clubs, right? They only see the public aspect, right? There's a lot of people that know Mike God, right? Mike God, where you been? Around the universe, now I'm back again. A lot of people know Mike God, but they don't know Michael Muhammad, right?
Right.
And so we have people that have two identities, right? Especially when it comes to celebrity, when it comes to the music industry, when it comes to clubs and parties. Everybody got what we would call a surname or a stage name. So everybody knew DJ Kid, right? We just found out about Jason Pope. But what's really interesting about this situation, Jason used his alter ego, DJ Kid, a white boy, and into hip hop, R&B club, and the promoter. He used that as a means to target black women, to sleep with them. And according to his charges, right, he got some trafficking charges and stuff, right? And so talk to me about Jason Pope, the charges that he got. Do you know? Tell me what you know about these charges that Jason got. Talk to me.
So far, I just know about the charges of infecting these women with AIDS or is it HIV. Either way, he's infected a whole bunch of women knowingly, intentionally, targeting women, and which is like attempted murder.
Okay. So he was charged with human trafficking, right? Was and said he targeted black women with intentionally spreading AIDS to black women. That's what he's accused of. But trafficking, right? Trafficking young women. And targeting your black women, do you think that is a serious problem that we have? Well, we deal
very serious
on the party scene. That
absolutely.
Somebody can easily come in and influence us. There's a lot of guys with them. See, everybody talk about the women that was around them, right? Nobody talk about all the black men that was around them, or black males that's around them, right?
Right.
The only targeting that he slept with could have infected black young females. They don't talk about the black men around him. If he was trafficking humans, wasn't he doing it by himself? He didn't have a clique. You know, like my man Raekwon got with a sick click and went all out. Did he get tight with a sick click and went all out? And if so, did he have other white boys with him in this click? Or was some of ours in the click with him? Or just one man, this white boy is just so smooth, debonair, and got so much game in the hip hop and music world that he can traffic women all by himself. Now, you said one thing you know, they target him with having AIDS and strategically saying he slept with over 600 black women. He targeted black women. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, when I first was made aware of this, because I didn't know of a DJ Kid or Jason Pope and stuff, I just heard somebody say DJ victim, and I'm like, what in the world are you talking about, a DJ victim? And I'm looking up to see what that was, and I'm just like, what? I didn't get it and everything until I got on Facebook and started seeing stuff and whatnot, and then you posted in the group. So when I seen that, I was automatically got kind of irritated because I'm like, who do we blame? Do we blame him? The girl or the mom and stuff, because, you know, even if he didn't disclose his he had AIDS, the thing is, you know, Tupac or one of them guys said it in one song. I don't want it if it's that easy. So my thing is, why not protect yourself when you don't know these people, because you're dating that alter ego and whatnot. And he knew what type of audience he was going for.
girl just ready to, you know, be famous. Want to just say they was able to sleep with this type of person and whatnot. And see, I got to educate myself on it more because I'm thinking of the women that maybe thought that it was really going to have some serious. You know, all of it may not have been one night stand. It could have been the lies that he told them, like he didn't
right.
want a long-lasting relationship. You know, they don't really discuss how they actually, you know, the women haven't voiced their stories yet, how they met him or interviewed
right.
him or,
right.
you know,
and I want to say,
so
and I want to say this. I want to say this, Charlie. So I won't, and because I was on his Facebook page. Now, everybody he took a picture with, we can't believe he slept with all of them, right? We
right.
totally can't. And I'm thinking this number of 600 black women is somebody just throwing a number out there, right?
Right.
You know. Now, I ain't always been Michael Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? I've been on that
mm-hmm.
on that hip hop scene. I've been there. And I know a lot of key people in the industry. A lot of people I've been
mm-hmm.
around. And ain't nobody running. I don't even think 600 women. Is this over like 10 years, 15, 20 years? He do. I think he's spending more time fucking than he is promoting parties between with 600 women, black women at that.
Right.
So I think some of the story is exaggerated to draw attention. And then you got people on, you know, social media that are just looking at pictures that are actually in a club or women that might have been in a club where he was promoting, right? And let's
right.
say if I looked on there and I seen somebody that I know in the picture on the Facebook page, that doesn't mean that person slept with him.
Right.
So we definitely need to put that out there, right?
Absolutely.
Because he on the picture with Hillary Clinton, maybe that was the only white woman that he wanted to fucking get AIDS to.
Right. You know, you have to have the mindset. The mindset play a key factor here, and also mathematics. You know, it's the science
right.
behind everything. I think that number is just to let us know he slept with black women, a lot of black women.
Right. Right. And let's not use the term he slept with black women. Let's use this term. He slept with a lot of immature females. Or he slept
yeah,
with a lot of
that's what he
females, did. Right? Because there is a difference between a immature female and a black woman. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Black
Absolutely.
Women do
I
not
agree.
Put themselves in those type of situations and circumstances.
Absolutely. You said it
so
best.
When they
That's
are
right.
saying he slept with such and such amount of black women or African-American women, no, he didn't sleep with that many. He slept with those that he dealt with on an immature level. Imagine that scene that he operate under. He operate under the scene where probably 85 to 90% of the people that he dealt with go to the club. They either drink it before they get to the club, either getting high before they get in the club, popping pills, smoking weed, or something before they get to the club, drinking Ciroc, drinking Henny, whatever the new shit that the crowd love at the club.
Mm-hmm.
They drinking that, right? So they are operating under poison. They're intoxicated, right?
Like he knew his audience. He knew the audience he was attracting.
Right. He knew his audience, right? A lion knows what to attack. He know his audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
A chicken hawk targets chickens. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so
and even when you said
what
like,
has to take place, go ahead, talk to me.
Right, like even when you said with the immature girls and whatnot, different from women, you're absolutely right on that because I had no idea, ever heard of DJ Kid. Didn't even, you know this was going on and everything until somebody, you know, outside the group just brought it to my attention and everything. I'm like, what? And stuff. So I felt like I said and everything, but because that's not what I'm into and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying
right.
That I'm not into music and stuff and anything, but I'm into a certain type of music. I listen to rap. I just didn't listen to his rap and whatnot. Or he just wasn't that important on my radar where, he caught my eye and stuff. But, it was immature women that didn't know themselves. They didn't, and I really feel sad for them and everything for my sisters because, they're around so many. We communicate every day and everything. And I'm just like, man, nobody gave them knowledge itself. Nobody taught them, better. Or I can't even say that. Nobody didn't do that because sometimes they don't like the messenger. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about mindset.
Right.
So these women, maybe they'll learn from this, the ones that are the victims, true victims. In every crisis,
right,
there's opportunity to grow and learn from.
Right. And that's the thing about it. That's why I wanted to do the show, so we could cause our people to think, especially our young sisters. Right? Say what now?
No, I was going to say something. I'm going to wait till after.
Yeah. And so everyone that knows what's going on and know that they have dealt with this guy or deal with guys like him, it's easy for us to come on here and yell, it's a white boy, a white guy, but it's some immature niggas out there that doing the same thing. And I can't believe that this white boy was so smooth, debonair, and had such a strategic plan that he moved and operated just by himself.
Right.
And it might come out in the court hearing. He might pull what's the little rapper name, 6ix9ine. He might pull a 6ix9ine and just start telling some shit that we ain't yet heard. But because we here in North Carolina, close to Florence, South Carolina, we know some of the people that party down in South Carolina, know some people from the area. It's big, real big news to us, but it's also got the heighten of here this DJ kid, and they showing pictures with black females. Because like I'm saying, I'm not going to get on here and say the black woman. These are black, immature females who are young that goes in this environment, because one report was like he was human trafficking little 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like you said, he knew his audience, and he made sure he placed himself in the audience. But I don't think he had a van parked outside of clubs and concerts and stuff, and would just grab a couple of them, throw them in the van,
uh-uh.
Tie them down, turn them in the van, whatever, drive the van, or wherever he got to go to pass off these humans to traffic. He's not in this by himself. He might be the scapegoat, but he's not in this by himself. So our job is to put information out here to cause our people to think. When you go in this type of environment, especially our young sisters, our young immature sisters, we're going to have to hold you accountable for placing yourself in these environments to where people can take advantage of you and snatch your ass up.
Absolutely. That is so true.
We can't keep
so
pointing fingers
this.
At white folks. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's so easy to do, and you're right. We need to start
right.
thinking.
Right. We cannot keep pointing our fingers at white folks and blaming white folks and not holding our own accountable for their deeds and their actions. We can't protect what we cannot control. If I cannot tell my little sister, my niece, my little cousin, don't go over there. Don't go to there. and they don't, and they decide to go on their own, or if I tell you, you know, you need to, you know, you need to mature more in this area, grow and develop, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to teach you what you need to do, and they reject that. You're going to get what you're going to get. You are going to get what you're going to get. There's positive environments that you can go into, but they don't choose to go into those environments.
Right.
Then how many of these young sisters that's insecure about themselves, that can be easily manipulated because they want attention? They
right.
spending their money to get dressed up, put on the makeup, to get the hair done, to go in an environment where they can feel good about themselves and get attention. And that environment.
Getting drinks, leaving them. Right. And they leaving
right.
their drinks.
You don't know what people putting in their drinks.
Absolutely. And whatnot. That part.
How many of them did he Bill Cosby the ass? We're going to say, you're going to use that as an example. But, because they say Bill Cosby was putting stuff in women's drinks. Peace. Yeah, well, I'm building up to it. I got an in-house audience. That's why y'all let me tell you to the in-house audience. But they would say Bill Cosby was wrong, and we went at Bill Cosby as a collective whole. But Bill Cosby was dealing with so-called grown-ass women that went into that environment, knew who he was, knew exactly what he was supposed to have been about, and they were drinking and partying with him. And they also did drugs with him. You see? But they didn't hold those women accountable for their deeds and their actions because they were white women. Now think about young, black, immature females in that environment. And all they want to do is have a good time, party, and enjoy themselves based on the level that they operate on. Are we as a society, Charlie, accountable for constantly trying to teach and reach out babies?
Yeah, we put the information out. We can't make them do it, you know? We can't make them read it or listen to it and everything. But I feel like, you know, we need to hold each other accountable. But we can't kill ourselves doing it, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just don't have to learn the hard way.
Right.
Yeah, we all like don't make it to heaven.
Right, even in the Bible, Jesus told the disciples, if you go into a town and you teach them or you warn them and they don't take heed, to kick the dust off your feet and keep moving.
Right.
Our duty is to teach, educate, and to cause our people to think. Right?
Absolutely.
Once we do that, once we inform them, give them the proper information, what they do with it or don't do with it is solely on them. But there's consequences to every deed and action. And the law of reaping sow is real. The law of reaping sow is real. This DJ Kid is reaping what he sowed, and now he's getting exposed, or it's coming out everything that he was doing under the banner of being a promoter, a DJ, club promoter in the entertainment business. But he's not the only one. So what signs should our people look for going into that environment? Because he's not the only one. Do you think others are going to take heed, or do they think they can't be touched by this and they affected by this, that this would never happen in them? What you think?
Yeah, hopefully they take heed. Hopefully this will make them think. Hopefully this will purify some people. And hopefully people that is affected will talk to their peers and stuff and not be bitter at the world because of a choice they decide to make. But hopefully this is a whole learning process. What they should do is get themselves educated on AIDS. It's because it's people that live with it. And, you know, take the steps, the proper and necessary steps from here on and whatnot. You know, get tested. Just because you slept with you don't necessarily mean you have them. Don't necessarily
right.
mean you have. Get tested. Go immediately. Get tested. And there's information out there.
Well, they should try to protect themselves anyway, even if they in that
in the beginning.
Right.
Yes, like you said, I think they shouldn't have put themselves in a situation. And that's what I was going to say. I remember years ago when I was not a girl, but I want yet a woman. I remember this guy, Kelfon, he wanted to sleep me so bad. And when I took me out to eat and everything and stuff, and I ate, sure did. And then he just wanted to, you know, he wanted to perform oral sex on me. I was like, no. And I'm like, why? You know, I was asking him all kind of questions. He wasn't ready for that and whatnot. I'm dark-skinned, and he's this light-skinned brother and whatnot, you know, like green hair, pretty hair, green eyes, pretty hair. But it didn't work on me. That right there didn't work. Yes, did I go out to eat? I did. I like to eat. But when it came after that and stuff, it was a no. But I didn't know if he had anything or not, but my thing was, why you want to sleep with me so bad? Why you want to perform oral sex on me? I didn't get it and stuff, so I couldn't let it, you know, happen and everything. And then not only that and stuff, I wasn't physically attracted to him like that and whatnot. So, but the thing is, think, just because they approach you with sex and whatnot doesn't mean jack and everything. And the only reason why I said, you know, describe that guy and everything, like, is because, you know, so many, he was stereotypical back in the day and stuff. Oh, she's dark skinned. Oh, she's, you know, seeing this light skinned guy or whatever and stuff and everything. But a lot of light-skinned guys used to stereotype the dark-skinned women and whatnot. But I don't know what made it. Anyway, I ain't going to make it about light-skinned, dark-skinned and stuff, but that happened to me. That was the experience I experienced before and whatnot. But that's any time I'm out somewhere. You know, like, people don't approach me like that now and stuff. But see, when I was younger, I used to make sure I didn't have much ass, so what I did was I showed my stomach and my breast was big, so I, you know, wear the shirts that would reveal and revealing and everything. But I knew that I was doing this just for, you know, me and stuff. I don't want to hear to sleep with these people. And when I had a son, even though I was dressed like that, I still like showing my body at times and stuff. But that didn't mean I had to put myself in a situation, you know, where, okay, since you want to have sex, let me go ahead and have sex. I wouldn't even drink because, you know why, and stuff. I knew I got, if I would have got tipsy, my mind would have altered. I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't put myself in that situation. If somebody's smoking
right.
weed or whatever, I don't put myself in that vehicle because, you know, I don't want to contact and everything. I don't want to be in a situation that I'm in, like, oh, my gosh, I got to do this, or how am I going to get out of this? I've learned from other people.
Right, but these young ladies or these young females, mindset is on a level of that's the environment. An environment
right.
breeds similarity, right? How many
mm-hmm.
people do you know that even while they get ready to go to the club, they drinking or they smoking or they popping pills
mm-hmm.
before they even get to the club? Then when they get in the club, yeah, you know, like I say, ain't always walked up right. Be in the club, you got women looking for men to buy them drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for. And they'll sit at a table and wait for him to go get the drink. You don't know what the hell he did to the drink. But because they're so comfortable in that environment, right? Mm-hmm. They're so comfortable in that environment and feel so safe and secure in that environment because that is their environment, the level that they operate under. Mm-hmm. Until something like DJ Kid happened.
Right, that part. Yeah,
because
DJs get mad
and
whatnot.
Right. Let's say there's a well-known DJ that when he would come to areas, or like DJ Klee, right?
Mm-hmm.
I watch his live videos, and he rocks, dude, nice. And they bring him to a small town that ain't got nothing, nobody don't really do shit. What are they going to do? They going to pack that spot with DJ Klee, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the promoters that have brain, DJ Klee might not even know nothing about the promoters except they paying him to come in that night and put on a show and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But the promoters are telling these young females, yo, I can get you a picture with Klee. Yo, come on, me and you, Klee, blah, 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 right? And just because they want that opportunity for a photo op, they willing to go along to get along. So these are women that go into that environment looking to participate in that environment. You ever seen on Facebook or some where all the real niggas at? You ever seen that being posted?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a mindset. And then even better to someone, if they can find a white boy that got money, they can take them in and out of little situations and circumstances. But we don't know the motive behind a lot of things that's going on. Not just with white people in that environment, but with our own people. Like I say, I do not believe DJ Kid was in this by itself.
Like I said, the science behind that. Just by that alone, we know better.
Right. Right. You're right. So we got to start when we see our young sisters and brothers getting ready to go into that environment, we got to give them that warning. We got to let them know, yo, you need to think before you do say it while you're out there. And we need to check when they come back home.
Yeah.
If anybody, like when I would, with me and my independent record label, when we would go into an environment, when we would go to the clubs for the artists to perform, when we would go, right, I knew all the exit doors. I walked around the I don't care how big a damn club or place was. I checked the outside. I admit, let everybody know, if something go down, we all need to meet over here. I'm getting us out of here. Or I'm getting out of here. You need to be with me. I walked around the club and checked on everybody that went in that building with me. And I monitored them throughout the night. For one, I'm security minded. But we're going, our people are going in the club with somebody, they safety ain't worth, they don't even think about their personal safety or the safety of those who they with.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the mindset has changed
because,
a lot.
True. But if you out with your girls, right, wouldn't you want to make sure all your girls are all right?
Yeah. Most definitely.
There was an incident in Greensboro, North Carolina, where a fight broke out. And two girls, I don't know who was driving or how the other girl fit in, but she running over people. And end up killing somebody. But everybody else was, guess what they were doing? They were standing around trying to fucking video this shit.
Yeah.
Talking about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the environment how people are going into.
Yep.
Like a junker, sometimes it makes me wonder how we keep from going under. We put ourselves in the worst position.
Right.
We got a couple of minutes. You think we see if we got anybody on the line that want to make a statement or comment before we get off? I got a caller with their hands up, Charlie B. Moore.
All right.
Caller, the last four digits of your phone number is 4462. 4462, welcome to the show.
Hey. This is Teresa.
How you doing, Teresa?
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Teresa. Hey. Okay, let me tell you what I kind of think a lot of it is that most of us black people, I mean, are very materialistic. And they want this, they're looking to come up, these big get-rich-quick schemes. You know, how you go out and you become famous, you know, kind of like how R. Kelly was doing those girls. This is what they're looking for. And they're not going to find it.
True.
But, I mean, and then a lot of them, you know, are not taught how to act when they go out to these type places. Some of them are sneaking.
Right.
I told my daughter when she was young, for one, don't go out here telling nobody that you're older than what you are. Because I don't think it's fair for a man to have to go to jail or get arrested for statutory rape when you lied. Number two, don't mess with no man and his money because they will kill you. And so I was kind of like on her back a lot. Like my parents was on my back a lot about how to act around the opposite sex and what to look for as far as, you know, somebody being a little too nice, a little too friendly, which you get a lot of that. Now, and then you have a lot of our brothers talking down on us. And so there's a lot of us and I'm not going to say us because I don't go to the other side. I prefer to have a black man. But there's a lot of people that feel like, okay, you know, well, the black man don't want us, so let's go elsewhere. And that's what they do. But baby,
so you think so?
My daddy and we never let us out. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Let me ask, so do you think, like, a lot of our young females, especially in the case with DJ Kidd, him giving mm-hmm. them that attention is what
yes.
was drawing them in?
Yes, I think so. I mean, you get a lot of people, well, they're in single-parent homes with their moms who's probably working two jobs, because she can't get anything, any kind of assistance or whatever to help them. So she's just a little bit too much to get any type of assistance to where she can work just one job and stay home and be mama. No, she got to work two jobs, and the majority of the time, she's gone. And they have free range. I think they're just looking for attention. You know, just think about it. When I was in school, I never seen, and now, the majority of white people and Asians and so on and so forth, you don't see them wearing all that name brand stuff. They wear little cheap stuff. I see little cheap stuff from the dollar store, Walmart, here, there. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. But see, us, we got to have Jordans. We had to have Levi's back in the day that was pretty expensive. You know, we had that. We got to have stuff that if you don't go and tell somebody, hey, I pay X amount of dollars for, they wouldn't know it.
True.
And you know, that's just kind of like they like attention.
Right, and you're exactly right, Teresa.
Men encourage them by, you know, yeah, all the oohs and ahs. You get somebody who's just kind of conservative or whatever, men don't pay them no mind. But somebody that's got all
right,
that stuff hanging out, oh, they own it.
And one thing I want to drop in there, because you talked about the mother having to work and this and that, but where's the daddy? The majority of our household, the daddy is not there. The daddy is not there to inspire their daughters, right?
No.
Do they inspire? Because I got daughters, and even goddaughters. And I try to inspire them, encourage them, motivate them on a regular basis, and they fully grown. You see what I'm saying?
You know, I believe there are some fathers that are there for their kids, even though they're not in the home. But then there are fathers who just don't want to do nothing, and they don't do nothing.
True.
They are not. They are not held accountable, and then they say, "Why you put me on child support?" Well, when you wasn't on child support, you wasn't doing nothing.
True.
So they encourage.
Well, we definitely gotta address that those issues, and everything, but definitely our young women are definitely in need for fathers of being in life. So maybe we need to set up a show and make it happen. And I want to thank you for participating, Teresa. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. You make some very, very valid points.
Indeed.
Let me tell
Charlie
you one thing.
Go ahead. Let us say this here. Go ahead.
Let me say one more thing. When I was a young girl, we was told that if a man can't give you nothing, not that, you know, you don't need to get him none of your time. And I think that it kind of got switched around. And just those little simple things that these people out here getting, they think that's something. You know?
Sure.
Oh, no money, yeah, no honey, you know?
That's right.
Then
the new thing is, I want a sugar daddy that I don't have to get no sugar to.
Exactly. And that's what they see.
Indeed. Definitely want to thank you for calling in and participating. Charlie, is there anything you want to close the show out with?
I just want to say thank you, Teresa, for calling in. You make some very valid points, and that to the listeners. Take a second to think about it, you know, before you give your guts up and stuff. Because that's the last thing. You actually get more. You'll get more if you don't give them up. Something or anything.
Did you say get your guts out?
No, you're good.
Did you say
you're good?
Oh, I'm gonna say wow.
Oh my gosh.
You
know,
oh my goodness. What have I show turned into? Before y'all get y'all goods out. Okay. All right. Think about it. I heard him on my bed.
Yeah,
we want to thank everybody. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening to the show. We on every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9. If you're on Facebook, find Northside Talk group on Facebook. Send us a request. We'll add you, and I go live on there for the Northside Talk Live. I gotta get my co-host to start going live as well with us on in the group, and which we're going to make some things happen. We're making some changes and adjustments to make the show better, but we want to thank y'all for tuning in tonight, and keep supporting us, and we love each and every one of y'all. What you think, Charlie B. Moore? I think she might be already gone, but I'm going to close the show out like this right here.
Rap came from us. It started in the South Bronx. It started with conscious rappers. So to my brothers and sisters who are rappers, see, you're part of a scheme, but you don't realize you are an unwitting collaborator in a scheme that is to destroy you and your future.
Let's be very clear, I ain't here to drink beer, smoke weed, shoot the breeze and break bread with you. I'm only here to resurrect the living dead with you. Thought it was some kind of a game, I'm not playing with you. I got the Moorish warlords with Moroccan sharp swords, Ethiopians with white face camouflage, already disciplined and ready for that sabotage. You listen to Minaj? Word? You should kill yourself and everybody that you came with. Arrangements out of jurisdiction, no arraignment. My name gets mentioned through the ethers, through high frequency speakers. Certified 45, get in line. Make this revolution rap your favorite pastime. Make listening to Coon Tune your very last time. Last time he was CO and now he's gangstified. Pushing keys, catching bodies, man, somebody lied. I'd rather listen to that guy noise, levitate with fly boys, organize an army, bang dead press. Understand I'm not a missionary, just the devil's adversary. Extraordinary, compliment the feds. And most listening are subject to conditioning. They need a hook, something snappy just to pull them in. I truly sympathize, I hope this pretty